If you take your Bibles and go to 1 Chronicles 29, I'm going to begin a series tonight entitled The Church. And we're going to take a look at God's Word, and we're going to see what exactly the Word teaches about the church. There's a lot of different meanings for the word church. The word church can mean a building. It can refer to a building. You can pass by a beautiful building and say that's a beautiful church. There's a lot of wonderful cathedrals. There's Valley Forge Chapel over in Valley Forge. We go to quite often. That's a church. A group of people can be referred to as the church. A particular denomination can be referred to as the Church of the Presbyterians, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Episcopal Church, the Baptist Church, this sort of things. So the word church in itself has different meanings, but we want to go to the Word of God, and we want to look at the Word of God and see how the Word of God defines the word church, because the way man defines the word church and the way the Word defines it sometimes are different. And it's also very important, as you're going to see, that if you don't understand the church and what the church is, that when you start to get into the Bible, you can get misdirected. And you can then, because you're misdirected, go to the Word of God and start extracting doctrine and extracting rules and regulations and placing the congregation under those rules and regulations under the guise of this is what it says the church should be and the church should do. Unless we understand how the word church is used according to its biblical meaning, we will be in danger of wrongly dividing the word of God. The church, as we understand it today, came to be on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Pentecost came some 50 days after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 2 and following, we have the record of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the record of the new birth in the day of Pentecost. Now, the Greek word rendered church in the King James Version is the word ekklesia. Ekklesia. Ekklesia appears 118 times in the Gospels and the New Testament writings. It's mostly translated by the word church. However, the word ekklesia is also translated by the word assembly. And it's translated assembly three times in the book of Acts. One of the things that is interesting is that the word ekklesia in the Septuagint, and the Septuagint is the Greek rendering of the Old Testament. The word ekklesia in the Septuagint is never translated church in the Old Testament. It doesn't appear, it doesn't occur in the Old Testament, the word church. However, in the Septuagint, the Greek word ekklesia is often equivalent to the word congregation or the word assembly. And it's here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 that we're going to begin to track this Greek word ekklesia in the Septuagint to see how it's used in the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles 29, in verse 1, it says, "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, said unto all the ecclesia, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord." The word congregation here is the word ekklesia. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we have another usage of the word ekklesia. again in the Septuagint. In verse 30 of Deuteronomy 31:30, it says, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of all the ecclesia, all the congregation of Israel, the words of this song until they were ended." Until they were ended. So you see that David spoke unto the congregation, unto the ecclesia. We see that Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation in front of the ecclesia and to the ears of the ecclesia. Now you know that the ecclesia, the congregation, is made up of what? People. People make up the church. People make up the ecclesia. Joshua chapter 8. Joshua 8, in verse 35. There was not a word, 8:35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation, before all the ecclesia of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So you see here that the ecclesia of Israel and the word that was read to them not only included Israel, but it was the women, the little ones, and also the strangers that were conversant with them. In other words, people that weren't born of Israel. I would know them as proselytes. Psalm 26. Psalm 26. And in verse 5, we read, "I have hated the congregation, I have hated the ecclesia of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked." Will not sit with the wicked. Here we see that the word ecclesia is used to describe evildoers. Evildoers are what? People. But in the record that we read up so far, the record was talking about the people of God, the congregation of God. Here we see that the same word is also used to describe people who aren't necessarily of God, but that are evildoers. The word is also used to describe just a multitude, mere numbers, a multitude. Look at Genesis 28. Genesis 28, and in verse 1, we see that it's Isaac who calls Jacob. And Isaac calls Jacob, and Isaac's going to bless him. And the blessing is recorded in verse 3, and the blessing is, "And Almighty God bless thee," Genesis 28, 3, "and make thee fruitful," and what? "Multiply thee, that thou mayest be a what? A multitude, a ecclesia of people." A multitude of people. It's talking about numbers of people now. Not necessarily a particular group, but multitude, numbers of people. Look at Ezekiel chapter 23. Ezekiel 23. And again, we're simply looking at the Greek word ecclesia in the Old Testament, in the Septuagint. Because when we get to the New Testament, the same Greek word, ekklesia, is then translated church. But in the Old Testament, it is never once translated church. We saw that it was translated by multitude. We saw it was translated congregation. But it's not ever translated church. In Ezekiel 23, in verse 46, talking about a people that God is going to raise up. "For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company," a group of people, an army, "a company, an ecclesia upon them, and will give them to be removed," and what? It's talking about an army. So here The Greek word ekklesia is not translated congregation. It's not translated multitude. It's translated company. Company, and it's talking about an army. So you can see that the word church, or ekklesia, rather, is used several different ways. It's used as the congregation of Israel. It's used as a congregation of evildoers. It's used as a multitude of people. It's also used as a company of nations. Again, the word church never appears in the King James Version in the Old Testament. Now, when you get to the Gospels, the word ekklesia appears only three times in the Gospels. And this we have to consider in Matthew chapter 16. Three times in the Gospels. Now, out of the 115 times it occurs in the New Testament writings, only of three of those times it occurs in the Gospel. Only three. And in Matthew chapter 16, in verse 18, Matthew 16, 18, it says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So this is the first occurrence of the word ecclesia in the Gospels. And it occurs here in Matthew 16, 18. And it's talking about Jesus Christ building his church, his ecclesia. And he's saying that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to look at the other two occurrences of this word in the Gospel. And it's again in the Gospel of Matthew. And in verse 17, it says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them," now this is talking about a person who has been confronted. And if you read earlier on in the verses before, you'll see take two or three witnesses and you go and confront them, etc. Okay? And then what he's saying is, "If he neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church," tell it to the ecclesia. 18:17, correct. "But if he neglect to hear the church," again the word is used, ecclesia, "let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." So it occurs two times in that particular verse, and both times in that particular verse, the Greek word rendered church is, the Greek word rendered church is ecclesia. It's ecclesia. Now, you have a church. You have a church in the Gospels. Okay? The Gospels are before Pentecost. Okay? The Gospels were still following out the Old Testament because Pentecost had not come yet. Everywhere in the Old Testament, when this word was ever used in the Septuagint, it was never translated church. It was translated assembly. It was translated congregation. It was translated company. But it was never, ever translated church. Now, when they got into the New Testament, the Gospels specifically, they decided to translate this word here by the word church, which would be the continuation of what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. The Darby Bible of 1884 to 1890 translates Matthew 16 verse 18 as this: "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my assembly, and Hades' gates shall not prevail against it." Darby translates the word ecclesia by the word assembly. Because all through the Old Testament, that word assembly, congregation, company, was always used to translate the word ecclesia. The New Jerusalem Bible translates Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. So I now say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of the underworld will never overpower it. The New Jerusalem chooses the word community to translate the word ecclesia. They use the English word community in translation of the Greek word ecclesia. The Bishop's New Testament of 1595 renders Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So here we have Bishop. He uses the word that's familiar and has been used throughout the Old Testament with regards to this word, and he uses congregation. So Darby says assembly. The New Jerusalem says community. Bishop says congregation. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The Young's literal translation. Now, Dr. Young is the gentleman responsible for the Young's Biblical Concordance and other biblical writings. He was a scholar. He also has a literal translation. Young's literal reads of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I also say to thee that thou art a rock, and upon this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So here we have four reputable translations that chose not to use the word church, but chose different words to translate the word ecclesia, specifically in the gospel occurrences of Matthew 16, 18. Now, I told you, out of the 115 times the word ecclesia is translated church, 103 of those occurrences are after the day of Pentecost. 103. Now, the first time it's translated church, the word ecclesia, is, other than what we read, is in Acts chapter 2. And I'd like you to go there in verse 47. Because what I think I can show you tonight is that what happened on the day of Pentecost was not the same that was in effect before Pentecost. That in fact it was something new, and it was described by a new word. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 47, it says, praising God. Now this is after the day of Pentecost. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the what?
Church.
The church. Now it's called the church. Okay? It's not called might. It's not called the tell it to. It's the church. It's specific. The Lord added to the church, the ecclesia, and he added to it how?
Daily.
Such as should be saved. Acts chapter 5. This records with regards to Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 11, Acts 5:11. And great fear came upon all the church, the ecclesia. See it? and upon as many as heard those things. Again, church is the word ecclesia. Look at Acts chapter 8. Acts 8 verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the what? The church or the ecclesia. Which was at where? So now this is telling you that there was a specific church which was at Jerusalem. Now there was more than one church. Okay, this particular one was where? At Jerusalem. So we see that the church now is not just one little thing, one place. It's not spoken of in that context here, but it was a specific group of people, and they were housed at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 3, it says, "And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church," the ecclesia. Watch it. "Entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." Here we have more light added to the word ecclesia. The ecclesia, there was one at Jerusalem. But here it says that Paul made havoc of the church of the ecclesia. And in order to get to the ecclesia, he entered into every what? House. That's where the early church met. The early church met in a house, in homes of believers. And he hailed men and women, committing them to prison. Here we see that men and women make up the ecclesia, they make up the church. Later on, you're going to see that children are involved also. Look at Acts chapter 11. In verse 22, beginning of the verse reads, "And tidings of these things came unto the ears of the ecclesia of the church," which was in where? Again, the church in Jerusalem is mentioned. It's mentioned by name. Look at verse 26. "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch." When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Talking about Barnabas and Paul. "And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church," with the ecclesia, these two ministers. They stayed with this group of people, this church at Antioch for a whole year. And what did they do? The Bible says, "And they taught much people." Okay? Now watch this. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, everybody in this room just about has heard that verse of Scripture. Some of you, 30, 40 years ago, you heard that verse of Scripture. But I'm going to tell you something you ain't never heard about that verse of Scripture. This is a very interesting verse of Scripture. Because the verse of Scripture teaches us that the disciples, the people, were first called Christians. Were first called Christians in Antioch. This was the first time in the history of mankind that a group of people started to be recognized by the name Christian. Understand? Christian. The first church was called, Christians, the Christians in Antioch. The Christian church. You understand? It's a Christian church. The people were never called by this name before. Never called by this name before. Thus, whatever happened in the year that Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, and whatever they taught those people there at Antioch, and whatever went on, the people began to recognize that group of believers as Christians. As Christians. Chapter 11, verse 25. "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek who? Saul, or the Apostle Paul. Barnabas went looking for Paul. Verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, with the ecclesia, and they taught much people. They taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This was the first time that they were referred to by that name. Paul and Barnabas were teaching the great truth about Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can read about that later in Ephesians, a great revelation. It was Christ in you. That's what Paul was teaching. They were teaching how now, after the day of Pentecost, it's Christ in you. That's why they were called Christians. Because once the believers realized they had Christ in them, they started talking about Christ in them, Christ in them, Christ in, Christian. That's how the word came to be. Up until this point, the revelation of what was given on the day of Pentecost and the greatness of it was not available. But the Apostle Paul, it was revealed to the Apostle Paul about the great mystery and about Christ in, thus Christian. And that's what he taught them at Antioch. He taught them that in Antioch. This newfound truth that Paul and Barnabas was teaching was Christ in you, and they were walking around talking about Christ in. The people in the area called them Christians because they were always talking about Christ being in them. So this church in the book of Acts was a new, never before church. It was a new, never before church. They were not recognized by just the word assembly of believers. They were not recognized by the word congregation. They were not recognized by the word company. They were recognized by the word Christian. You see, the word congregation could be found and utilized in the Old Testament and in the church, quote unquote, that was in effect in those days and in the gospel. The word company could be found in the Old Testament and it could be utilized with regards to the people, the ecclesia of that time in the Old Testament. The word even assembly could be used to define a group of people, and it was used to define a group of people in the Old Testament. But never in the history of mankind ever was the word Christian used to define a group of people in the church. Until they were first called Christians where? Yeah. Now that's remarkable. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that the church in the book of Acts, from Acts 2 and forward, could not be the church that was in the Old Testament or the church that was in the Gospels. Because the first time they were recognized by Christ in them was in where?
Antioch.
Antioch. You see, because Christ had not died and ascended and came and gave all what's made available on the day of Pentecost in the Gospels yet. So they couldn't have been called Christians in the Gospels. They couldn't have been called Christians in the Old Testament. Now, why is this important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because what a lot of people like to do is they like to take the church from the Old Testament. They like to take the church from the Gospels. And what they want to do is they want to import it into the New Testament. They want to call it the same church. But it is not the same church. This church was first called, the people of the church were first called Christians where? In Antioch. That's a specific point in time, somewhere between 40 and 50 AD. I didn't check the timeline. But it was a specific point in time. You know what it means for the first time for something to happen? It's the first time. You understand? It can't be the first time if it was in existence in the Old Testament. It can't be the first time if it was existence in the gospel period. It is the first time because it was brand new. That's why we call the birthday of the church Pentecost. It was brand new on the day of Pentecost and there forward. And then as the revelation became made known unto man and unto the Apostle Paul, he began to teach it. He taught the revelation of the mystery. He taught the revelation of the church. He taught the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, long before he ever penned it down. You see? He was teaching these great truths. And he was teaching these great truths at Antioch. This group in Antioch was different. It was new. They had something that no one had ever had before. They had Christ in them. This designated them as a new and exclusive group of believers. They were now called and known by the word what? Christians. Christians. Thus the church that is referred to in here, the book of Acts, cannot be the congregation of Israel, nor could be the congregation of the Gospels, because the church was first called the Christian church at Antioch. At Antioch. Now that's remarkable to me. And it's been there all those years. All those years. And people want to start fighting about this is it, and this is the bride, and this is the bridegroom, and this is the body, and this is it. And they want to import, and they want to start mixing stuff up. And what you're going to see is when you start mixing stuff up like that, you can get off the word real quick. And then you can start to import laws, rules, and regulations that apply to the Church of Israel and start to bring a congregation into legalism and start to lord over them. And then go to the Word of God and say, this is what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says. But you're extracting scripture and you're extracting doctrine written to a different administration, different, written to a different group, written to a different church. And you do this real sneaky-like. You do this real intelligent-like. But the end result is always bondage. The end result is always confusion. The end result is always legalism and its oppression on people. This church was brand new. Never before in the history of the Bible did anyone ever allude to Christ in them. Never. It says the church, the people, were first called Christians where?
Antioch.
Antioch. That's why it was new. Look at Acts chapter 12. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of the ecclesia unto God for what?
Abraham.
Here we see that the church is praying, and we see that the prayer is directed to who?
God.
God. Acts 14, verse 23. Listen, when you come into a football team, you go out for football, right? When you go out for football, you got a coach. You have a book of regulations. You have the goalpost at one end, the goalpost at the other end. You got the lines in between, right? You got the out of bounds, okay? You're allowed to kick a certain time. You're allowed to throw a certain time. I think you get four downs, right? You got to make 10 yards a little, or to get another chance with the ball. All these, everything's set up. So when you come out to play football, you move into the position of the quarterback, of the wing, of the running back, or whoever you do, linebacker. And you follow that prescribed rule according to what has been set down for years and years and years, and you abide by those rules. Because it's already set up, and it's just a continuation, because as younger men get older, they get hurt, they retire, they get out of the game, younger people come in, right? And they just take the place of those older players. That's simple. You got it? Well, you see, if the church was a continuation from the Old Testament, then what should happen is this. You should be able to come in. You should be able to continue with the dietary laws. You should be able to continue with the sacrifices. You should be able to continue with the dress, with the high priest, with all the feast days, all these things, because the system is already set up. It's in place, and you are just a continuation of it, because the young people, they go in, they get older, and somebody's coming in, right? That's not what happened in the book of Acts. You see, what happened in the book of Acts was the evolution, the development, the growth of a new and different species, a new and different thing. Because the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. It never occurred before. This is something brand new. Acts 14:23, look at the beginning of the verse. And when they had ordained elders in every what? You see what they're doing? Every church, every ecclesia. They're forming the basis for how they're beginning to organize and run their organization according to God's guidance and direction. And what God's guidance and direction was, as I showed you, they were meeting in the where? The home, right? They had a specific church at where? Jerusalem, that was watching out over a bunch of things. But here you see that they were ordaining elders in every what?
Church.
Because it was spreading out. It was growing. It was a new thing. You understand? And they had to have organization. Now, I didn't say legalism. I said they had to have organization. Look at verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the what?
Gentiles.
So Paul comes in and they gather the church together and everybody's listening to the great thing as he's telling them about the word of God now is available to who?
The Gentiles.
Without converting to Judaism. The word of God was never available to the Gentiles without converting to Judaism in the old church. This is something new. This is something different. You understand? And he's saying this is what God is doing and how God's opened the door for this to become available. Acts 15. Look at verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, by the ecclesia. These ministers were provided for. They were brought on their way by the church. In other words, they were given money. They were given maybe a donkey or a camel to ride if they needed them. If they needed some food, they were given that. If they needed, you understand? In other words, you see the church beginning to take care of the ministers. The people. Look at verse 4. And when they were come to Jerusalem, we see again Jerusalem. You understand? So Jerusalem was a place that was pinnacle. It was important for the first century church. A lot of things were going on in Jerusalem. And we keep coming back over and over again to Jerusalem. And you're going to see that's where the Jerusalem Council, that's where the elders congregated. That's where a lot of the decisions for the church were made. They were come to Jerusalem. They were received of the ecclesia. So when the believers went to Jerusalem, the people went to Jerusalem, they were received of the ecclesia, the church at Jerusalem. Okay, it didn't say that when they went to Jerusalem, that Jerusalem said to them, you're not of our church, we don't want no part of you. You understand? It didn't say, you believe in healing, you can't teach in my fellowship. They didn't say, you speak in tongues, that's of the devil, we don't want any part of you. They were received of the church at what? Jerusalem. You see? You know when you're little kids, you ever watch them grow up and they get along with everybody and they're just wonderful and everything else. And then you got to get older until you start to learn how to be stupid. And you start to learn how to hate and be bitter and be angry and be mad at everybody. But when you're little, the world's just a bowl of cherries. And then when you start to grow up and you get around all the things of the world, that's what happens with the church. When you're new in the church, all the believers are wonderful. They're blessed. They're great. They're Everybody, just give them a big hug. It doesn't matter if you've got a Protestant name tag. It don't matter. But then you get in your congregation, and your congregation teaches you how evil the Baptists are, or how bad the Pentecostals are, or how bad the Methodists are, or how bad this one are. And then you walk down the road, and you stub your nose at your brother and sister. You don't even want to look at them because, you know, you were taught that way. See, here it hadn't happened yet. Read on in the book of Acts, you'll see it did. Well, Acts 20. So things are starting to progress. You're starting to see these things. And then you get to verse 28 of Acts 20. And Paul's giving some instruction. And he's saying, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of what?
God,
which he had purchased with his own blood. To feed the ecclesia of God. Now, for the first time in the history of the book of Acts, it is not simply referred to as the ecclesia. Now, the phrase reads, the ecclesia of God. The ecclesia of God. It's the church of God. It doesn't say the church of Israel. You understand? It doesn't say the congregation of Israel. We read in Deuteronomy, Moses stood before the congregation of Israel. We read in Chronicles, Solomon stood before the congregation. You understand? Now it's called the ecclesia of God, the church of God. Never before in the history of mankind has this phrase ever been used or alluded to. It was never called the church of God. This is the first time it occurs, and it occurs in the book of Acts. It's the first time it occurs. This is the first time the phrase occurs chronologically. However, in reality, the phrase was active and alive since the day of Pentecost. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, chronologically, the phrase church of God, this is the first occurrence of it. In Acts 20, verse 28. But just because it's the first occurrence of it penned down doesn't mean that the reality and the truth of it had not occurred and been active previous. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 says, for I am least of the apostles, this is the apostle Paul speaking, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of what?
God.
And Paul persecuted the church of God long before it was penned down in Acts 20, verse 28. You see it? So, the reality of what it was there. It was functioning. It was real. It was alive since the day of Pentecost. It was the church of God. But the first time it was literally called the church of God was in Acts 20, 28, where it was literally penned down. But do you remember that I shared with you that the men of God would teach the word of God for years sometimes before they penned the word of God down, before they did that? And that's exactly what Paul was doing, because he knew that he persecuted the church of God somewhere after he got converted. God revealed it to him. Look at Galatians chapter 1. We're going to close here in Galatians. But we're going to start to develop this very slowly and methodically so you can begin to see the meaning of the word church and where exactly you fit with regards to the church. In Galatians 1, we read in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, I certify you, I guarantee it, I swear to you, I'm telling you the truth, the gospel, which was preached of me, is not after man. In other words, Paul's saying, I didn't come up with this stuff. I didn't sit down one night and say, oh, this sounds good. I'll just write it out and start teaching it to the people. The gospel that was preached of me, my gospel that I preached, it was not of man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man. I wasn't sitting at the bar and overheard someone talk and said, oh, this sounds good. You got it? I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it. I didn't go to some school and learn this in theology class. But by revelation of Jesus Christ. He received it by revelation. By revelation. God revealed it to him. For ye have heard of my conversation in past in the Jews' religion. In the Jews' religion. Now, why is that interesting? I'll tell you why that's interesting. Because the Jews' religion was a continuation of the church that was in existence at that time, right? Sure, it's correct. And he was good at it. And what he's saying is, you have heard of my conversation, my manner of life, the way I operated, the things that I did in the past in the Jewish religion, in the church, in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of what? God, and what? I wasted it. So they had the Jewish religion, and the Jewish religion at that time consisted of the synagogues. It consisted of the rules. It consisted of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. It consisted of the scribes. Consisted of all the regulations. They were just a continuation of what was in the Old Testament. They brought it right in. And Paul was very astute. He was very zealous to function in that to the nth degree. He was fanatical. But in functioning in that church, in that group of people, in those traditions, and by doing that, when the Lord revealed to him what was going on, he realized that by doing that, he was persecuting the church of God, and what? And you got two separate churches there. You got one that Paul belonged to, functioned in, and functioned in to the T. But that particular group, that ecclesia, that church, that assembly, that congregation, whatever you want to call it, was not the same as the church of God that he was what? Persecuting. You see it? It's different. He was persecuting, and he wasted it. You see, whatever Israel had going on at that time, in the time of Paul and when he was functioning in the Jewish religion, it was not similar or identical to what the Christians had going on. Because the Bible says that the Christians were first called Christians at what?
Antioch.
At Antioch. Thus, the church of Israel and whatever they had going on at that period of time could not be identical or identified to the church of God and the Christian church. See? And as we continue to develop this, you're going to see more great truths that's going to support this. So, Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we can begin to understand this. We can begin to see how it relates to us in this day and time. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.